Hi, this is Earl Oakin. Welcome to the first of my podcasts. Some of you will have seen me performing live on stage, and others maybe not. So this has a dual purpose. One, it gives you a chance to wander around the shelves of my 78 RPM record collection, and B, by doing that, perhaps understand how it is that I came to perform the way that I do, and write songs the way that I do, and well, etc., etc. And I thought I'd make this first program based on my very first musical influences. When I was three, for instance, my father, seeing that I liked music, rather than buying me a toy for Christmas, bought me an old wind-up Rexine-covered gramophone, complete with 78s, of which there were six. The gramophone, I think, was half a crown, the records threepence, but then this was 1950. 78s were going out of fashion because there was this new thing called an LP coming in. So nobody wanted these things. You get everything cheap. One of these six records was Ruth Etting, a sort of pop jazz singer of the 20s. And in fact, later on, they did a biopic about her, starring Doris Day, who was, to be frank, a much better singer, really. However, I loved this record, and it had this wonderful patina of age, and also she was being accompanied by what I later discovered were two of the greatest of early jazz musicians, Joe Venuti on violin and Eddie Lang on guitar. I, in fact, learnt to lip-sync this record, so well did I know it, and so often did I listen to it. So I hope that you enjoy it too. This is Ruth Etting's 20s recording of Love Me or Leave Me. Ooh. Now, when I was 2 or 3 years old, Pakistan was a new country, and they needed people who were going to work in their embassies, and they had to learn the ways of the West, and so they needed some sort of educated people for Pakistani students to stay with and learn the ways of Great Britain. One of these people was a man called Mr. Butt, who was tragically killed later on in a swimming accident in Canada, we heard. But while he was with us, he also had a wind-up gramophone, and his taste was, you might think, unusual for somebody who was a Pakistani student. One of the records he bought was a sort of classical hit of the day. Joan Hammond, later Dame Joan Hammond, who had been a champion golfer as well as a prima donna, had a sort of popular hit with a Puccini aria, just in the way that Pavarotti much later had a hit with Puccini's Nessun Dorma. This, however, was a soprano aria from Gianni Schicchi, which she sang in English, and everybody adored it and bought it in their thousands. I adored it too. I was spellbound by the melody, and it was only years later when I suddenly remembered that moment when I first heard this record and realized that it was one of the earliest pieces of music that really had me knocked out. So here is this recording. I believe it was made in 1947, and Joan Hammond singing, "Oh My Beloved Father." Joan Hammond. Well now, thanks to that record and the influence of my great uncle who had heard Caruso live in Germany back before 1910, I developed a great love of opera singers, and by the time I was six was already collecting the operatic 78s that form, I suppose, the largest part of my record collection now. However, there was one singer who wasn't very difficult to categorise, really. I suppose you'd call him a folk singer, but he sang all sorts of songs. He wasn't a jazz singer, he wasn't a classical singer in the normal meaning of that word. He just had this amazing voice. He spoke better than people in general can sing, and his singing was absolutely wonderful. He was American, and he was black, and he was left-wing, which meant that he was treated really badly by the Americans in the 1950s during the McCarthy regime when they took away his passport. When they finally came to their senses and gave it back to him, he came to London, where he had always been loved and worshipped, almost with a fervour that teenagers, you know, went after the Beatles in the 60s. His name, of course, was Paul Robeson. His famous song was Old Man River. But I'm going to play a record of his that I've always had a great liking for. He, as I say, he wasn't really a jazz singer at all. But his version of St. Louis Blues, which was made in England, of all places, in 1934, with, I believe, Nat Ganella on trumpet, with a Ray Noble band, I've always particularly loved it. So here is Paul Robeson, probably at the peak of his vocal powers, in the 30s, in London, singing St. Louis Blues. The great Paul Robeson. I heard him from one of the last seats that they put on sale in the, as it were, where the choir should normally be sitting, and that was behind him on stage at the Royal Albert Hall in the mid-50s. I can't remember the exact date. It was amazing. As he came on stage, the whole hall stood up and clapped for about, it seemed, for ages. And he choked up and couldn't sing. It was as if they were saying, well, never mind what the Americans think about you, we still love you. So that was my first concert, and it was a pretty impressive one. I went with my parents, of course. My great uncle took me to a couple of concerts too. There was one at one of the theatres on the South Bank. It may have been the Royal Festival Hall, it may well have been one of the other smaller halls actually. Doesn't really matter. I had been taken to go and hear the great guitarist, the great classical guitarist, the one who had to, well, rediscover the method of playing classical guitar because it had sort of faded out of memory. His name was, of course, Andrés Segovia, and I remember him as a rather slightly overweight elderly man coming on stage in great fat pudgy hands. I don't know how they even got into the frets, let alone play the way they did. And without any apparent effort whatsoever, without, indeed, I could hardly see any movement in those fingers, hundreds of wonderful notes poured forth. I was taken home about 30 minutes into his encores because the crowd wouldn't let him go home. Here he is playing the world-famous tremolo study. If, like me, you ever tried to play the guitar and somebody in the audience came up to you after your show and says, well, what a good guitarist you are, go home and put this track on, and then it'll bring you down to earth. What an amazing performance, which shows such control of tone, technique, lyricism, the lot. Andrés Segovia. By the time I was 10, I'd been collecting 78s for 2 or 3 years, and my favourite singers, then as now, were Enrico Caruso, the tenor, and Fyodor Shalyapin, the great actor bass. Nevertheless, there was one tenor still alive at that time. He died very young in 1960, as young as Caruso when he died. There must have been a genetic fault in this man's family, because many of his brothers and his father died at the same age. I think they had heart problems. This man's name was Jussi Björling. He was the last of the truly great tenors. My great-uncle took me to hear him at the Royal Albert Hall, this time sitting in the guards and not behind him on stage. As a critic of 10, I was incredibly harsh, and if you weren't Caruso, you were nowhere. Until he sang, I remember an aria from Manon, The Dream, and I remember turning round to my uncle and saying, now that was special. However, what I'm going to put on for you today is not that aria, but Nessun Dorma, the aria that everybody will know. It's much better than Pavarotti's. It was made in 1944, when he would have been in his early 30s, and it's just magnificent. One of the great definitive recordings of this aria. So, without more ado, I give you Jussi Björling. The great Jussi Björling and his definitive account of Nessun Dorma. Well, we're almost at the end now. First of all, I must apologise for the buzzing sound behind my voice. My My microphone seems to be recording the sound of my own computer's engine, as it were. I'm not quite sure why it's doing that, but it is. This is not top professional equipment, I'm afraid. However, the music, I hope, will make up for it. Feel free to email me. That's at spats47@ntlworld.com. I'll spell that. S for sugar, P for Peter, A for apple, T for Tommy, S for sugar, 47, the numbers, at N for nobody, T for Tommy, L for London, world, all one word, .com. Once again, spats47@ntlworld.com. You may want to make a comment and say how terrible it was, how wonderful it was, or do I have a particular record which you'd like to hear? Any of those will be perfectly acceptable, and I will do my best to reply and, if possible, include your request, if I have it, in my next podcast. However, as I started at the beginning of this podcast saying, this is all really to show how this has had an effect on my writing. So I think perhaps I should have one of my tracks playing out. This, just for fun, is one I did quite recently with modern technology, wherein I decided to sing all the trumpets. So when you hear a trumpet section behind me going wah-wah, it's actually me, multi-tracked. I'm all three trumpets, and then I do another sort of trumpet sound over the top of that as my solo. It's my attempt to recreate the sound of what sort of songs they were writing in the 30s and 40s in the jazz era, and it's called Hey Honey. So with that, until the next time, do keep in touch. Thanks for listening, and maybe you'll become regular listeners. I hope so. Incidentally, there are many other sorts of records that will be included, everything from music hall, political speeches from pre-World War I period, which are actually fascinating. There will be comedy records from up to the 50s. The Goons made 78s. Jazz, of course. Film stars. Oh, goodness knows what else. So don't think it's limited to just what you heard today. Well, that's it for now. And ciao from me, Earl Oakin.
Hey honey, wanna dance? Hear the music swing. Let our two hearts sing tonight. Hey honey, it's romance when you're in a whirl. The girl is right. Is it that smile or just that style? Something's grabbed my heart and won't let go. So, hey honey, it's my chance. Something must be said. Though I've lost my head, it's true. Hey honey, I'm in love with you. Is smile, or just that style. Something's grabbed my heart and won't let go. So, hey honey, is my chance. Something must be said. Though I've lost my head, it's true. Hey honey, I'm in love.